kingdom and the mandate, which is the dominion that God has given us. And last week we started a series on the dominion mandate. And God had just really been speaking to my heart and to my spirit about this so many ways. So let's look and read here in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Going back to the third sentence, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." Let them have dominion. Everybody say, "I have." I have. Amen. Past tense. Already that which God has given to us. Amen. Amen. God has given us dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Turn to somebody and tell them that God has made us stewards over the earth. And the word says, the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. Come on. See, I don't think we believe that. I believe that we still think that the political systems and the religious systems of the world is what it belongs to. They are the owners of the earth. But the truth is that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the earth is the Lord, and God has given man, God created man, amen, placed him in the garden to dress it and to guard the garden. God not only gave him the garden, God gave him a duty within the garden. God gave him the sense of production. He didn't stop here in verse 26. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And verse 28 goes on, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and having dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Amen? So God gave us dominion. We're turning over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I just want to read verse 4 first. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verse 5, "And having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Somebody say, it was always God's plan. That you're not an afterthought, but you are always and have always been the plan of God. And that in it, God created man, and because God created man and placed him in the garden, we realize that placed two decisions within that garden. Amen. And in that garden, God placed two trees. Amen. So God placed two trees within the garden. But let me read Ephesians chapter 1, and then we can move on. And in verse 17, chapter 1 and verse 17, and this is what he said. I just want to read one other verse to you. And Ephesians is declaring what God has called us to be. In verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now look at verse 17 here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That God may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Why? Well, because this was the issue in the garden. In the garden, God created two trees. The trees was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, do not eat of this tree. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, because if you eat of this tree, you shall surely... Amen? And there's only one thing that brings death unto our life, and that is what? You can go ahead and say it. Amen. It's not because you're committing it right now. It's just because you can say it, right? It's in the Bible. It's not a cuss word. All right? So he says to us here, he said that there is that which brings death to us. He put this tree in the center of the garden, but he also put another tree in the center of the garden. And the other tree that was in the center of the garden was the tree of life. That was the tree of life. That was eternal life. As long as they ate of that tree, they could eat of that tree, because the only tree they could not eat of was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of any of the trees. Amen? So, God wanted them to enjoy all the trees. Now, here's what you can't get lost in. Because the problem is that we want to get lost in peach tree, apple trees, cherry trees. Amen? How many knows that the garden is not about apple trees, cherry trees, or peach trees? Are you listening to me? Because it's always depicted that Eve ate the apple. And we know that's not true, because an apple a day keeps the devil away, right? So we know it's not an apple. That's not what he's talking about here. So if you get lost in the natural, you become literal in the sense of God made a garden, and he made apple trees, peach trees, you know, plum trees is plums grown tree, right? Cherry trees, you know, persimmon trees, whatever trees that you're thinking about, whatever your favorite tree is, those trees was in the garden. But is God really talking about trees? I don't think everybody's convinced. Let's take a vote. How many thinks God's talking about cherry trees and plum trees? Raise your hand. Amen. See, now you're afraid to raise your hand. God's not talking about trees. Because why? He said these things were written unto us as in samples. He wrote this to us because the trees stood for something more than just a cherry tree of fruit. God put it in the garden to give them a literal example of it, because God was trying to do what? God was trying to teach them something. God was trying to teach them something. See, God was trying to teach them something. God said yes and no. You know, really, life is no more difficult than that. Life is made up of what? Yeses and noes. Life is made up of yeses and noes. God says, I put before you life and death. Yeses and no. You choose, but here's what I'm going to put in front of you. I'm going to put in front of you life, and I'm going to put in front of you death. What you look at the trees here, what you're looking at, if you're taking notes, is when you're looking at trees, you're looking at wisdom. You're looking at the wisdom of man, the wisdom of Satan, the wisdom of God. The choice is, what do you want? What do you want to walk in? Do you want to walk in the wisdom of God, or do you want to walk in the wisdom of man? Well, what does that bring? Well, we're going to get into that, but look here in Ephesians. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now look what he says here in verse 18. He said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, so that you may what? So that you may know. You can't know until that your eyes of understanding have been opened. So is God again talking about your eyeballs? Amen? God's not talking about your eyeballs, but he's using it because for me to see is that I can understand. I look at a map and I can understand this is where I'm supposed to go from point A to point Z, unless you're a man, because you'll get off on L, E, and F somewhere along the line. Maps are no good for guys. That's why God created GPSs. And isn't it interesting? God never put a male voice. I don't even want to get into this today. I'm getting sidetracked. Amen. Amen. I mean, don't you think that's interesting? They put a woman's voice in a GPS. And I think to myself, I still find myself talking to the GPS. Shut up! So God gives us the ability to understand. When he talks about the eyes, he's talking about the ability, not the eyes or my physical eyes. He's talking about the eyes of my heart. He's talking about the eyes of the heart of my understanding so that I can understand why, Pastor. Well, if I don't understand, I can't do it. I can't get from point A to point B. I cannot put it together.
More than just understanding. Understanding is having wisdom. Here Paul said, look, what the issue here is this, is that if you need your understanding open, his prayer was that you may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, how can we serve him? How can we serve him? You're going to have to let me adjust the volume. I'll pull it down when I feel like I'm getting too loud. He said, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So what was going on here? Well, what was going on here in the garden, man lost his ability to have dominion. Why? Because he allowed sin into his life. And so once sin comes in, it separates you from God. It blinds you. It blinds your heart. Amen? I mean that's what sin does. What sin does, it separates me. It blinds me. See, so when we think about sin, we think about the actual carnal sins, but those are not the sins that are happening a lot in the body of Christ. What's happening in the body of Christ many times is unbelief, and unbelief is the result of a lack of understanding. Because we struggle, the reason why we don't believe is because sometimes we don't understand what God is trying to do. We don't understand. It's difficult to understand this majestic God. It's difficult to understand who God is in his ways. That's why Paul said, look, you can't do this through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you try to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is that you're going to die. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. So what is the tree of the knowledge? Well, that's man's wisdom. He said, if you pick of that tree, what's going to happen is you're going to lean under your understanding. You're going to lean under your ways. And if you lean under your ways and your wisdom, you're going to die. Amen? It's not difficult. Amen. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. See, God is not complicated. What's complicated is our ability to submit and give ourselves over to his knowledge and his ways and his will. Look what he says here in verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So when Christ died, because man forfeited his right in the garden, he forfeited his right in the garden to continue to have dominion. See, before this, before the sin man, Adam and Eve were unrestrained. They were happy. Their life was great. They were healthy. They were wise. They were free. Are you here? But it's declared here that once they sinned, once sin entered into their life, and because of that, death began to work in them, here it declares their life became hard. See, before sin, all they had to do was dress and guard what God gave them. Once sin came in, they lost their authority. They lost their identity. Sin came into them, and life became hard. The Bible says they had to toil the ground. See, before, they didn't do no plowing. They didn't do no digging. They didn't do no planting. There was no Johnny Appleseed. Didn't need Johnny Appleseed. We had God, Johnny, God Appleseed. See, am I making myself clear? See, once it came in, Adam had to get a job. We're going to understand this. Once he sinned, he had to get up at 7 a.m. in the morning. And he had to take a shower. And he had to drive to work. And he had to put up with a nasty boss. Amen? And he had to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week just to be able to scratch out a living every day. And Eve had to suffer in childbirth because of it. You see, before, there was no pain, there was no suffering, there was no hunger, there was no planting. Why? Because the garden was already created. That is the difference. The mentality is we're still living at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we're struggling. Then what's going on, Pastor? Because we don't realize, man, we have been redeemed from the curse that was made. God made a covenant the moment that they repented, and God made a covenant with man and said, look, I'm not going to leave you here. I'm going to bring a redeemer along, and he's going to redeem you from this curse. It's going to take some time. It's going to take it, but it's already on its way, and I'm going to eventually redeem you from this curse in your life. Are you listening? The consequences of sin is there, but what I want you to understand is that God's intention
in Genesis chapter 1 was what? That man would have dominion. He not only placed it in there, and here's what I said last week. If you didn't take this down and you want to take it down. Man was created for dominion. Amen. He was placed in dominion. And God commanded him to what? Exercise dominion. See, it wasn't just imperative. It wasn't just declarative, but it was imperative. God not only said, look, this is my will, my wishes for you, but what I'm going to do is I am commanding you to exercise your dominion. He said, I want you to exercise your dominion in this area. And he doesn't even leave it in a question mark here. He goes on into verse 28. Come on, go back with me. In verse 28, I guess I ain't leaving there yet. We'll come back to Ephesians. Look at here. In verse 28, he says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, have babies. Is that what your Bible says? Sure it does. It says, be fruitful. Amen. I know we got a mixed crowd here. I won't get graphic, but I'm just saying, we understand that is how biology works. Who made? God made man, and God made woman. Why? Because God wanted man to be fruitful. See, what many people don't realize is that God didn't create sex for entertainment. I said, God didn't make it to where that it would be blasted on television and on movies so that it would be entertainment to our children. He didn't make it to where that it would be perverted on videos and on YouTube to be able to pervert the mind of our children that are so easily accessed for them to be able to get to. Because God created marriage and created man and woman so that it would be a holy institution, so that it would create and they would be able to create babies, and that they would be able to create, they would be able to take dominion over their own bodies. When a man and woman come together and marry, they're taking dominion over their bodies. And when they create a marriage and a family, that is a dominion, a place of rule that God has created. We are literally being obedient to God when we marry the right person. Amen? Not picking them out in the catalog, all right? It's finding that one person to be fruitful. Look what he says, be fruitful. Amen. That refers to marriage. He said, multiply. That indicates family. I'm going to cover all these areas because dominion covers all of those areas. God says to us, look, take dominion over your family. See, what happened is that Adam gave up his position when he was standing there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He got caught up in a place. Instead of him having dominion, his wife took dominion. And when she took dominion, they went down another road because she was caught in her own curiosity. And I know that women aren't curious. Amen? How many women can say, man, it's hard not to ask questions? What are you doing? Where are you going? I'll stand over here. Where are you going? What are you doing? Did you take a shower? Did you brush your teeth? Did you pick that up? Why didn't you? Why? Where? When? Amen? How many knows that's the nature of a woman? I didn't say it was a bad nature. I didn't say it wasn't going to be an irritating nature, but I didn't say it was a bad nature either. The problem is, and I can say, and I'm going to stop here just for a second, what God wants us to understand is to have proper dominion within a marriage. That we can understand how it works between a man and a woman, and when you have proper dominion between a man and a woman, you have a blessing. That's why God said, when you find a woman, you find a good thing. God says you find a blessed thing, you find a wonderful thing. Why? Because it's better to have two than one. Come on, how many Three Dog Night fans do we have here tonight? Huh? One is the loneliest number that I ever knew. See, we need to understand that God has called us, created it, and God created it. See, it was God who created man and woman. I said, God created man and woman. And God said, now I want you to be fruitful. And I want you to multiply. I want your family to become strong. I want it to become righteous. Can you imagine what that family unit would have looked like if they were in the garden? If they would have experienced family in the garden instead of outside of the garden? We're not talking about the garden. The garden represents, what if the life that God intended was a blessed life, a fruitful life, a prosperous life, a life without stress and anxiety and with argument? The reason why we argue and disagree, the reason why we fight, is because we're standing outside of the garden instead of standing in the presence of His wisdom. Instead of eating at the tree of life, we keep eating in our marriages from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, what's found in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is my way. See, at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is where you can't forget for past mistakes. Oops. Thank you, Brenda. She's a widow. Amen. But she'll tell you, she would have to have her husband back and to have somebody who can agree with her and love with her. Are you listening to me? It's at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil to where that we live according to our wisdom, our ways. See, you can't prosper at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you partake of that tree in your family, what happens is death begins to come. The marriage begins to die. The love begins to die. The enthusiasm begins to die. The vision begins to die in the marriage. But when you allow the Spirit of God to be in the midst of you, and you eat of the tree of life in the center of your life, and you are walking in God's wisdom and His understanding, and your eyes have been opened, and you see your spouse as who she is and not what you want her to be. Oh, I'm going to keep preaching this. I think I'm onto something here. See, when you walk in the wisdom of God, what you see is not what you see. You see what God sees through your heart, because God has control of your heart. Amen. Because when it's me and my heart, then what I'm going to want is I'm going to want what I want. Because my nature is selfish. My nature is self-centered. Because the truth is, we all are a little narcissistic in one way. Amen? Have I preached here long enough? Say amen. Thank you. Not quite sure you were listening to me. But anyways. So he said, be fruitful, multiply, indicating family. But I think it's interesting here because he uses the phrase here, fill the earth, which I believe entails society in its fullest. And then he goes on into verse 28 there in the end, and he says, and subdue it. As far as I'm concerned, in my study, I believe that covers the whole scope of human endeavors and business and makes the previous three possible. I believe that when we began to subdue every area, when we believe and we begin to believe that wherever God has us on the job, in whatever every or endeavor that we're in, see, I believe the reason why the church and bishop has preached this over and over again to us for years, and that is that the church is still stumbling around trying to find the portals and the blessing when Satan is an expert trafficker. Do you know there's not a lot of poor dope dealers? They always know where to find the money. Hello? Amen? Because you don't want to know why? They know how to traffic their goods. They know there's a need for it. And so when they need money, I didn't say it was righteous. I didn't say it was good. I'm just saying Satan has learned to utilize his perversion and his wisdom. When he fell, his wisdom went with him, but his wisdom fell along with him being musically enhanced. His wisdom also fell too. I want you to understand that he moves through and to and fro throughout the earth, trafficking his goods throughout the world of hate and racism and drugs and prostitution and human trafficking. Why? Because that is his business. His business is sin. His business is death. And it's booming for him. Why? Because the church has given up her rights. She has given over her authority to mankind and to Satan. But I believe that God, look, Jesus came for a reason. He came and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. He brought to us the answer and said, look, I've given you the ability to take dominion over every aspect of your life. But just because I look at you all day and say, you are a jet pilot, amen, you can sit in your lounger at your house and act like you're in the cockpit and go zoom, zoom, but you're not going any further than 280 Mayview Avenue. You're not going to go any further. Zoom, 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 zoom all you want, but your zoom, zoom is not taking you any place. See, I can declare that you're a jet pilot, but you're going to have to exercise it if you believe that's what you've been called to do by going to flight school and exercising your will. See, he can say to you, you're an overcomer. He can say to you all day, you're healed. you're delivered. Come on. Listen to this. See, he can say all day, you are blessed. Ah, yeah. I can't. I'm not really. You don't understand, Pastor. I got too many things I got to overcome. I was born poor. I'm nearly not that educated. So God's like, no, you're really blessed. No. Well, I appreciate it, Lord. I appreciate it. So we're going to play the humble role. Well, I appreciate it, Lord. I appreciate you done all this for me. I appreciate you came to Calvary. I appreciate you died for me. I appreciate you took your stripes upon my back. I appreciate that you carried my sorrows and my chastisement. I appreciate, Lord, that you carried my sicknesses and disease on the cross. I appreciate, Lord, that you went unto the Father and are seated at the right hand of Him in all authority, and all authority and power has been given to you. And Lord, I really appreciate the fact that you sent back one like you, the Holy Spirit, who would come and empower us and who would stand alongside. I really appreciate it. But Lord, I just think that'd be for other folks, not necessarily me. Say, I just don't think it's for everybody. Wow. Yeah, that's not dominion mentality. See, dominion mentality. Let me show you a mentality here. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Is anybody enjoying this? Philippians, look. Look, Philippians. And I want to show you a dominion mentality here in Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just verse 8. And we'll go from there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, everybody say true. Whatsoever things are honest, say honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are, if there be any virtue, moral fiber, amen. And if there be any, think on these things. Can I tell you today, look what, and I want you to tie Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. He said, I need to give unto you and open the eyes of your understanding so that you may have the spirit of what? Of wisdom and revelation. See, you hear me. I know I pound on it a lot, but I'm going to tell you, the secret to life is not the breaks that you get. See, you think that's the difference in your life, but the difference in your life is the way that you think. The way you think about yourself. You think about yourself on what has been spoken over you and what you speak over yourself. How you think is what you read, what you see, how you live. That's how you think. Because how you live is how you think. How you dress is how you think. How you dress is how you think. Amen. Amen. Sunday mornings is always frustrated for me. Amen. Because I go through my closet and I'm like, ugh. Because I have something set in my mind. And so therefore, I cannot just put on anything. I can't just go out into public and be anything. I don't have the luxury to act any way that I want to. There are times to where that I want to, that there is road rage that comes over me when I'm in my car. And that road rage, I want to get out. The most profound place is the waiting line to get your kids at school. There's a lady that keeps butting in line at the waiting line. She keeps butting in line. She has a little car, so she always looks for that spot. So you have a big long, and she passes everybody, and she puts herself in that place. I'm telling you because I can't tell her. I want to tell her. I want to get out of my car, and I want to march up to her window and say, "Lady, look back. No, no, no. Take your eyeballs. I know you're not blind because you're driving this car, but I think you're partially blind because you keep doing this. But I want you to look back, and I want you to see all those other folks back there. Been sitting here, me included, been sitting here because we sacrificed. You got here early, but you didn't. You need to get out of line, and you need to go back to the back of the line. That's what you need to do." You can see I've rehearsed this in my brain. I've even thought about getting one of those dart guns, not a real dart gun, but have the little rubber thing on the end, you know, and I shoot it, hit the side of her car. "Hey, stupid, get to the back of the line." But see, I can't do that. I can't afford to do that. Because that's not kingdom mentality. That's not kingdom dominion. So therefore, I have to bring myself and I have to say, no, that's not the most important thing. I'm here in line and I haven't got to the place where I'm praying for her yet. I'm still praying against her, but I will eventually pray for her. But how many, here's what I'm saying to you. See, I can't go and lose myself in myself. I can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I can't lose. Why? Because if I eat of that tree, it constantly causes me to make bad decisions. It gets me into debt. It gets me into sickness. It gets me to every area. When I realize that God has given me dominion over every area of my life, not just the things that I want Him to have dominion, but in every area of my life, I say to myself and I ask myself this question, God, what areas don't you have dominion in? Where has the enemy... Where have I relinquished my dominion? Where have I relinquished my dominion? Because I've made decisions that were good decisions. Proverbs says this, "There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the way therein is..." Wow, there it is again. Amen? See, just because you don't believe... See, just because you don't believe... Well, I don't believe God heals. But that doesn't mean God doesn't heal. Amen? At one time, people didn't believe black folk had souls. That's why they could make them slaves. So they believed in their mind that they didn't have souls, so they could do that to them. People believed that. People believed things about you. People believed things about you as Hispanics. God, there are people that are sitting here that because of what people believe. But see, it's not about what people believe about you. It's what you believe about you. It's about what you see. All these things, that's what you need to be thinking on. That's what you need to begin to believe. You need to begin to believe what God has said about you. Because you look at life and you look at all the obstacles. But it's just like, and I think one of the most fantastic things to watch is those people who run the hurdles. I mean, that is like mind-blowing. You know what I'm saying? Because you're thinking, they're not like running and then stopping and doing a bunny hop over them. They are running at full speed and they are jumping those hurdles. And they're not losing stride. Oh, somebody's got to hear me on this. Somebody's got to hear me about this. See, that's dominion. That's dominion. The person who can't make those hurdles is the person who's afraid of tripping. The person who's afraid of hitting the hurdles. But kingdom dominion, the one who believes, they've taken dominion over it. They have conquered it. They have believed that hurdle is not big enough to stop me. I can hurdle it. I can make over. I can make it over and not lose stride. Woo! Listen to this. He said, those things, he said, think on these things, verse 9, chapter 4 of Philippians. those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Are you hearing me? Are you still hearing me? He said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath been. He goes on. But look in verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Everybody say, learned. Learned is about wisdom. Amen. See, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to facilitate knowledge. Are you hearing me? Have I lost you? It's like going to college. You ever sitting in a class and you think, now, how's this going to relate? I remember sitting in math class thinking, what is this going to have anything to do with dealing with somebody with bipolar? Well, you got one. No, that don't work. You want to know why? Because it's a discipline. Because somebody before me said, you need these things to complement and balance you out. Are you hearing me? Math may be important for you to figure up your bills that you're giving to your clients. There you go. Are you hearing me? See, we may not understand, but we learn. That's why it's important not just to be present, but to be present and learning. It's not just enough to come to the house of the Lord. God wants us to learn. What is God saying to me? See, we have the power to take dominion over today. We have the power, no matter where you were or how you started your day. Are you listening to me? No matter how you started your day has started. And the one thing that I have learned, the one thing I have learned from Bishop is this, is that we have the power to change the atmosphere wherever we are. No matter what circumstance, no matter what situation you're in, you have the power to influence that atmosphere. You, no matter how adversary, I walked into situations, I'll never forget the first time that I wasn't here a month. Oh, I got to tell you this story. This is a great test. How many want to hear this? Do you got time for this? Amen? I think McDonald's will still be open by the time you get out of here. First, I wasn't even here a month. And a realtor was trying to sell former people's situation. Didn't know what was going on. I was kind of, how many are glad for the Holy Ghost? Because no matter what may be going on around you, the Holy Spirit never leave you in the lurch. Never leave you in the lurch. Anyways, so when I came, I thought something was innocent that they wanted to just change because the zoning here was incorrect. And so they wanted to change, and I thought they wanted to change the zoning from residential to where it was more conducive for the cafe and other things. So I was caught unaware and got a call. And said, you need to be at the meeting tonight. What? I'm sorry, excuse me? Yeah, you need to be at the meeting tonight. We're having a zoning committee and being there. So, you know, just going to do, 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 do. You know, off I went. So I walked in this room right down here in Wilkesboro, the big white courthouse, the old one, second floor. Walk in. On this side is nobody except the realtor and me and Steve. On this side, it was packed, full of angry people. I'm walking, and if looks could have been daggers and guns, amen, I would have looked like Swiss cheese. And I'm thinking, I've been in some dangerous situations, and I got a pretty good sense of danger. And I'm walking in and I'm like, why are these people mad at me? And I'm like, do I got a stain on my head? I know my picture's no longer at the post office, so I know that's not why they're looking. And I'm not in the newspaper, and I'm like, what is going on here? So I begin to pray, Lord, what is happening here? Well, the more that I'm there and I'm listening, they wanted to change this to a business, because unbeknownst to some folks, is that there was a buyer for this property to make it into a nightclub. Didn't know that. Are you hearing me? I didn't know that at the time, but the Holy Spirit says, stop it now. And so, going through it, and people were just name-calling, and why, and blah, blah, blah. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and I stood up and I said, excuse me. I said, I know this is not order, but I says, excuse me right now. I says, we need to stop this. I said, I have no desire to change the zoning of that church right now, and especially to this kind of zoning. And I stopped it, and when I did, this side over here that hated me stood up and in one great standing ovation and applause began to clap their hands. There was people that began to cry. And afterwards, they just flooded me and said, oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. And the mayor afterwards stopped me and said, Pastor Mark, I just want you to know, I think tonight you began to build a bridge back from Cornerstone back into this community again. And I left. I left. Leaving it as it was, and it never was changed. We never sold the building. Amen. Amen. This week, see, this is the other half. This week, we've been talking about changing the zoning, but not to a business for a nightclub, but we've been changing so we can start our community center, because of the zoning we have, won't cover the community center, and because we want to be able to operate the cafe and some other things. So I went down to Todd and I said, I love man, and the zoning man. I said, look, I said, you know, there might be some people, man, may be upset at this, but I'm more than willing to explain and share what's ever going on. Went to the zoning committee, and it has the whole committee sitting there, right? And I'm walking in. I'm a little anxious, but I got this peace on the inside. And the whole atmosphere is different. So they explained why we were changing the zoning. And then Andrew says, you know, maybe Pastor Workman, he can tell you what. I had the opportunity for 15 minutes to share the vision of this church and the vision of that community center. And these men, one of the men on the committee, one of the businessmen looked at me and he says, Pastor Mark, he said, hasn't it been daunting for you to be able to have that facility and to pay the bills and to pay that? He said, hasn't that been daunting? And I looked at him in the face and I said, sir, I said, when I first came down here, yes, I said it was somewhat daunting, but I says, my God has been faithful. I said, he has been faithful from day one. And I said, and I want to testify to every one of you men today that there's not been one mortgage payment missed, not one utility payment missed. And as you can see, I haven't missed a whole lot of meals myself. So I said, God has blessed us, multiplied us. And I said, he's been faithful from day one for 5 years. So I have nothing but to say to you that my God is faithful. Are you hearing me? And so they wanted to know everything about the vision. They wanted to know everything about what we were doing and what was happening down here. And I was able to share with them what God wants and what God wants for Cornerstone to be a ministry to Wilkes County. Not them be a ministry to us, but for us to be a ministry to the poor and the disenfranchised and the hurting and the bruised and those that are rejected by society. God has called us to minister to the poor, to the hurting. Are you hearing me? That's who God has ministered, called us to. To redeem the lost. So for 15 minutes, man, I got to share the vision. And the president of the board said, well, I want to move that we pass the zoning change for Cornerstone Church. And it was unanimous vote that, yes, we want to change. Are you hearing me? And there wasn't one person from the neighborhood there to dissent in what we were doing. Are you listening to me? See, I believe that God has given us favor. And they know we're not here to be enemies. We're here to be friends of the community. Are you listening to me? See, that's how God can take a situation where you were in one place. And because you began to take dominion everywhere you go. When I walked in there, I had to take dominion in that place. Not to do anything else but to declare, this is what God has called us to be. Amen? Are you hearing me today? Oh, man, I haven't got anywhere in this message. Look what he says, and I want to read this. So you don't even have the clock running. I don't even know how long I've been preaching. I'm done. I know I'm done. But look here what he says in verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of one. I'm talking to you about a mandate, dominion, a mentality of dominion. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See, that is dominion mentality. I'm not saying that you're always going to be rich. I'm not always saying, but I am saying that the kingdom and dominion mentality is this, that no matter where you are, that you have a mentality is that I'm not staying here. I may be without now, but it doesn't mean I'm going to have a poverty mentality. I may be eating weenies and baked beans right now. I may be doing nothing but eating oatmeal and honey, don't even have enough for milk to put in it. All I can do is make it with water, have no bananas to put on top of it. But blessed be the name of God. This is not my future. This is only where I'm at right now. Because here is where I'm going to find peace. Here is where I'm going to find happiness. Here is where I'm going to be independent from that circumstance and have a dominion mentality, because God is going to bring me out of wherever I'm at to a better place so that I can have an effect on the society and the place where you have placed me. That is a dominion mentality. That is having our authority in Christ. Amen? Let me finish Ephesians, and I promise you I'll stop. Ephesians chapter 17. I've read 17 and 18. 19 says this, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, let me ask you a question. Where are you today? Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? But are you in Christ? Are you walking in His anointing? Are you walking in His authority? See, His authority can be in you. Are you listening to me? See, you are born. See, Steve, wherever he's at, I can't see him. But are you up here, Bubba? I thought you were laying down taking a nap. But that's my son up there. His name is Steve Workman. Are you listening to me? When I spoke that name over him, and I said, this is who you are, it wasn't just naming him. Are you listening to me? It was more than naming him. It was imparting me into him. Oh, come on. Get this. Get this. When your children act up and you look at them and you say, whose children are these? The way you acting, you ain't nothing like, you cannot be my children. I mean, come on. How many of you looked at your kids and some of the decisions they made, and you go, no. Somebody switched them at the hospital. There's no way. But see, you are going to have to look at them, even when they are walking in that place. Amen? When they're walking in that place, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to say, you know what? You are my children. And even though you're walking around like you don't got no sense in your brain, like you have lost your way, but I'm declaring over you, and honey, even if you've got to do it when they're laying at their bed and they're quiet and they're sleeping at night, you walk in your bedroom and you begin to declare with them, you are my children. You have been called to be in dominion. You have been called to be a part of Christ and to serve Him and to live for Him the rest of your days. Are you hearing me? You have the power to declare. Why? Because you have authority. As God has declared over you. As God has said, you are the apple of His eye. But see, it's hard. It's hard to see that you're the apple of God's eye when sin has entered into your life and blinded your life. Amen? See, when you're in disobedience to God and you know you're wrong. Amen? I hate to use kids all the time. Well, I don't hate it because I got plenty of examples. But It's like when your kids are disobedient. You look at them and they go. Amen. See, when you're righteous, your head is up and you can look. Are you hearing me? Straight in somebody's eyes. See, that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. But see, what we got to remember is this. Just because you're in sin now doesn't mean you have to stay in sin. Amen. I love what one brother said. You may be walking through hell, but honey, don't park there. Hell's no place to build a house. Are you hearing me? You don't build a house in the wilderness, honey. You're just walking through the wilderness. And God didn't call you to build no split levels in the wilderness experience. And the desert is not a place to build a house. It's only a place to have a tent. You're only there temporarily. Quit looking at the things in your life as being a permanent thing. And know that God has called you to something better. You may be in poverty. You may only have your last dollar in your checkbook. But know this today, that doesn't mean that has to be your end. God has something better. God has something greater. But you're going to have to begin to declare it over your checkbook. Amen. God said not only did He declare it, but He also, you've got to take action. He said, look, I've called you in My image, and I want you to take dominion. But then He said in the verb there, subdue is a verb. He said to him, now go and subdue it. Go and get her done. In redneck vernacular, get her done. Quit standing with your thumbs in your jeans. Well, I hope that we get this other president in. He'll be a lot better. No, won't. No, won't. The only thing that's going to change this world is a heart change. So the only thing that's going to change this world is a heart change. And when we as the church begin to raise up and change more hearts in this community, we will change this community and take dominion. But God has given us the authority and the power, but we have got to subdue it. We have got to do it. We've got to stand up. We've got to speak up. Nobody can do it for us. We've got to do it. We've got to reach down and give Him a hand up. We've got to give. We've got to love. It's not enough just to be. You got to do. I said you got to do. Amen. I'm great. How many hears it today? See, God's given us a mandate. Listen, don't get distracted by a lot of false doctrines about dominion. There's a lot of folks, man, who are preaching crazy things. Honey, I'm not telling you that, you know, that I'm your Lord and God's given me dominion over you and you're my little minions here at Cornerstone. Unless you think God's called you to be a minion. Amen. You know, that's a big yellow thing with big eyeballs. Some only have one. That's a funny looking creature. God hasn't called you to be minions. He's called you to be men and women of God. And He's called you not for me to lord it over you, as Peter said in the book of 1 Peter, not to lord it over the sheep. My responsibility is not lorded over you. My job is to lead you out of the place that you have found yourself in. And if you have found yourself in the valley of despair, then I'm here to tell you, God wants to lead you out. But you're going to have to do your part. I can't drag you out. You're going to have to walk out with me. Well, my finances are in despair. Then, honey, quit thinking about it and do something about it. That is, you got to change this. And you got to change this. If you don't change this, this won't change. Amen? It's like trying to stop swearing. Now, I know none of you cuss here, so I ain't talking about you. I'm not even looking at you. I know none of you said any bad words here this week. And I know you say it, you say, I'll never say it again. Help me, Jesus. I'll never say it again. How many's ever? No, I don't want you, because that didn't mean to admit you've been cussing this week. It's like smoking. Amen. How many ever had to quit smoking? Raise your hand. Come on. Raise your hand if you had to quit smoking. Raise your hand. Well, some of you can't because you're still smoking. So, Lord. Anyway. You heard me say it before. Will smoking send me to hell? No, it won't send you to hell. But it smells like you've been there for a while. That's what you are. Amen. But I want you to know something. It's like I'm gonna. How many's ever done the? When I get down to this last cigarette, I'm gonna quit. How many's ever tried that one? When I get down to the last cigarette, I'm gonna quit. And you get down to that last cigarette, you go, oh Lord. You start getting a panic attack. See, you've got to take action. You've got to do something. You know what? You can't quit, and there are some things you're going to have to do, and it's going to cause your body to suffer a little bit. Your body's going to have to pay a price. But I'm here to tell you is this, is that you may have to suffer for a season, but the victory is on the other side if you'll let Christ take you through and bring you to the other side. That's dominion mentality of knowing that God said I can. I know that if God said I can, I will, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stand with me today, or I'm going to preach for another hour. I'm